Welcome back. Let's go. I know it's been a while since y'all heard my voice. It's your boy Monty G here on the unofficial. Still official, but unofficial. Because it is official because I am doing it. It ain't like I'm not really doing it. But, you know, welcome to the unofficial first episode of the Mind of Monty podcast. I'm sorry, y'all, man. My voice, I'm actually losing it. So, like, this is probably the worst time to do this. I was told to get a cough drop earlier, and I still didn't do it. So, my voice is annoying. I'm sorry. And maybe I should go get a cough drop. But once you start the podcast, it ain't like I can just, you know, get off, you know, just come and go when I please. I wish, you know, things ain't that easy. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that was loud, but whatever. Anyway, how everybody's been doing? Did you miss me? Maybe. Last time I even spoke on anything in a podcast format, it was, you know, post Nipsey Hussle's passing. So that's a long time ago. So now we're here at the end of this next year, and I bet you're wondering, what has changed? What can Monty G possibly be wanting to talk about? What could Monty? Because, like, this is called Monty, Mind of Monty. You know, Monty G, that's still my alias. I don't care. I go by everything. But Monty is my name. You guys should know that by now. And if you're new here, nice to meet you. Thanks for listening. Keep listening, please. I just want you guys to bear with me on all this. This is very unofficial for a couple of reasons. One big one is I have not done a podcast in total, like in general. I say in total, but in general, I have not done a podcast, period, in forever. I did like a little 30-minute one that I don't think anyone will be able to hear unless you have like my resume. But that'll go into the other stuff that I'm explaining. But since the last time you've heard me, I have literally graduated from one college, enrolled into a graduate program at another college in an entirely different state. So, in other words, big changes has arisen. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. a lot of changes have been going on lately, you know, just like our ever-changing planet that we live on. My life has had its difficulties, but also its positives. So, you know, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is I'm back podcasting. And this time I'm by myself for now. But to explain what's going to be going on here on this show for a while, I'm going to be, you know, talking about similar things to what I talked about on the What You Think podcast, if you listen there, which is basically, you know, sports and entertainment. But this is more in line to what I care about. Not saying that the other show wasn't, because honestly, we all contributed topics. And most of the time, especially when it came to sports, I think I was primarily coming up with topics. So basically just ripped the first part, the sports part of our show, and that's what this is about to be. But no, definitely much better. I don't want to act like it's just going to be copy and paste, rehash, totally different sound, totally different everything. This is all independent. This is me right now. This is all Monty G. So if you want to support, you know, a brother out here just trying to get his voice heard about different things and about his interest and about the things that he loves, you know, pro wrestling, you know, football, basketball, you know, all levels really, but NFL and colleges, of course, is what I'm going to focus most on. The National Basketball Association also, MMA, you know, Conor McGregor's coming back. I might delve into that a little bit, not too much, because like I said, this is very unofficial. I have no notes reading out. I'm literally probably to anyone who who don't care about anything I got to say right now. I'm probably just rambling, which is true because I am not writing anything down. So, but on to important things. On to my first semi-first topic of the day. You know, what is Mind of Monty? What is my goal and what am I going to be doing here? So, you know, other than expressing myself like I've always done, I'm going to try to incorporate not only different people, people you guys have probably never even heard of, but people who are important to me on the podcast. And maybe down the line get certain, you know, different types of people that I may meet along this journey. This is only the beginning. This is a very exciting time, honestly. You know, I don't want to, you know, overdo it because, you know, I'm literally sitting in a room right now, sitting in my house, and there's nobody here. So it's not like I can just be like, you know, I'm saying I'm literally alone at the moment. So it'll be very, very awkward if I just started screaming out in happiness. But I'm very happy to be doing this because this is what I want to do. And it's only one way I can get here. But on to more important things. We are in the middle of the National Football League season right now. And that's what really hurts me. It hurts me that I wasn't able to talk about all of the other crap that's been going on all over the league for the past, you know, few weeks. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, happy Thanksgiving to everyone who celebrated yesterday, including Cowboys fans. I feel sorry for a couple of you because, you know, most of you are my family and not most, but I have a lot of Cowboys fans across the family. I think a lot of people may have a lot of people who make questionable decisions in their family, and that being a Cowboys fan right now definitely is starting to look like a questionable decision. They lost to the Bills by 11 points last night, yesterday, not last night, and I didn't get to see any of the game. I was literally on the road back home, so. You know, to everyone who watched it, you know, if you're a Cowboys fan, ha! Okay, no, wrong one. There you go. I got a button bar now. Remember we talked about this forever, like, on the What You Think podcast. How, you know, this was me when I saw the score against Buffalo for Dallas. I heard that brother in the back. He was like really, really, he was into it. That was me. Anyway, you know, sorry, Cowboys fans. Y'all, they fell to 6-6. So I think people, you know, I don't know if anyone is even, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's everywhere now at this point because anytime anything happens to the Cowboys, it's going to be everywhere. So I'm pretty sure they are thinking about getting rid of Mr. Jason Garrett. But honestly, you know, I don't know. I think this team have way more talent than what their record shows. So I think that it may be time, but it's been time. So why do people spend, I think, every year when it's an up and down year, you know, one year they're 8-8, the next year they're like, you know, 13-3 or something like that. And we seem to have the same conversation about the same person. I was telling you guys last year, I think, Coach Clapp, we knew what was going to happen with Coach Garrett. I mean, come on, man. It's nothing really that I need to say. I think anyone who's watched the game watched the Cowboys over the last decade know that, you know, Garrett probably needs to go. But, you know, that's for those are decisions for the owner, and we'll see what happens. I'm, you know, honestly, I know it's a lot of, I know people who do not necessarily support the Cowboys at all, and they would love for Jason Garrett to stay. They want him to get a new contract. So, with that being said, we had other games yesterday. I'm not going to focus to the Cowboys because, like I said, you can go anywhere you want. You can, if you're from Dallas, I'm pretty sure you hear about the Cowboys all the time. And if you're not from Dallas, I'm pretty sure you hear about the Cowboys all the time. That's just one of those situations. That's sports, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. The Bears came back on Detroit, I think, because when I watched, the clip I seen, Detroit was actually leading. I thought they were doing well. But Detroit, they don't have Matt Stafford. So, I mean, whatever, Trubisky, Chicago's offense, usually still anemic. They lean on the defense for the most part. So, but they are still dangerous. I think the Cowboys have to play them later down, either next week or coming up. So, I know they have to play them before the season's over. So, we'll see how that turns out. But big victory for Chicago yesterday. And we had the Saints taking care of business against the Falcons. You know, and I didn't really have a doubt. You know, they did lose to the Falcons earlier this season. I have no clue how. No way. I still don't know how that worked out that way. It was a very weird game, if you really think about it. It was weird. Like, you look up, you know, because, like, I don't watch the Saints. I lived in Louisiana a long time. And, you know, I'm kind of anti-Saints for my own personal reason. But it's not anything to do with the players or, you know, if you like the Saints, whatever. So what, good for you. But I have my own reasons. I remember when they weren't that good, and let's just say it wasn't that many. I don't remember that many Saints fans. Now, ever since number 9 stepped into the arena, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. And maybe that's just why I don't rock with them. But it is what it is. I don't, you know, come on, I can't doubt Drew Brees or whatever. You know, Saints may be in the Super Bowl this year. Who knows? Will they? I don't know. Especially, you know, depending on who's reffing. Anyway, so on Sunday we're gonna have Titans and the Colts. I don't care who wins. Let's go Colts. Maybe. I mean, does it really matter? It's the AFC South is one of those conferences that if you're not watching Deshaun Watson play, it's just like, okay. I mean, and then the Colts, they're cool to watch too. You know, they have a pretty decent, you know, team, pretty decent defense, great running game, great offensive line. So, I mean, the Colts are out, but that's, you know, you only really go there for those teams. I mean, Jacksonville was interesting a few years ago, but that team's gone now. So, you know, I don't know. The Titans are just, they're the same team. You know, they could surprise you and win a game, or they can do what they usually do and underachieve. It's just one of those things with them, you know. But I feel like I've watched a Tennessee Titan game a billion times. They're always the same. They're either going to be very defensive or, you know, they'll surprise you. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all Tennessee can give you every year. A couple surprise victories. Maybe get to the playoffs. You know, Derrick Henry's going to run a super long run touchdown. Seems like that's going to be a trend because he's done 2 years in a row. Matter of fact, if you count, like, I think Marcus Mariota running a touchdown years ago, they do at least one super long one a year for the last 3 or 4 years. Anyway, their defense is usually good, though, so we'll see who wins that nice division battle. The 49ers and the Ravens, we all are waiting to see this. Like, anybody who's, you know, want to watch, you know, anybody who's into the league, anybody who's into the MVP race that's going on this year with Lamar Jackson and, you know, maybe Russell Wilson. But honestly, the way Lamar's been looking the last few weeks, that, you know, as much as I love Russ and as much as I would like Russell Wilson to win, I was for it early in the season, these last few weeks, man. You know, and then Lamar got this big notch in his cap. They went up to Seattle and beat Seattle. So it's like, you know, how can I, you know, go the other way. But we'll see. And this is another one of those test games, another one of those games where we will get to see exactly what Lamar Jackson has. And we also get to learn about the 49ers, you know, whether, you know, the defense, whether they can stop Lamar or, of course, with Jimmy G, you know, it's always cool trying to figure out what the 49ers are cooking up because they're young. So, you know, you don't really know what's coming. So, Well, they're not young. They have veterans, too. But the point I'm trying to make is they're, like, this is their first year with Shanahan with a super-duper winning record like they have. And I said super-duper. I said duper. So, yeah, exactly. You don't, like, the 49ers have, you know, they've had talent. They slowly, you know, started to gather talent. But with the Jimmy G injury and, you know, trying to get over the Harbaugh era, even though, because the guy I remember who came after Jim Harbaugh, I don't even remember, Jim or John, I don't know which one, I'm sorry for confusing them right now, but the Harbaugh who coached the 49ers in the Super Bowl, anyway, the coach who came after him, who knows his name, I think Chip Kelly got a year in after that, But pretty much in the Kyle Shanahan era, the 49ers so far before this season have not been good. So this is they're young in that term, in my opinion. I don't think, you know, they're not young based on individual players, but they're young as far as being elite. So we'll see. It's going to be a fun game. The Ravens are always playing good games so far this year. And not necessarily by score, but just like watching. Like, they make 44-6 games fun to watch just because of the way Lamar Jackson and the Ravens play, you know. So that's the way I look at it, you know. The Jets and the Bengals, you know, that's going to be a game Sunday. I'm not getting into that. I mean, who come on. Look at that. Look at the Bengals record and tell me. Who cares about their game? Even the people in Cincinnati don't care about their game. I guarantee you. Guarantee they don't care about the game. And that's about it. The Browns and the Steelers. That may be fun. It would have been funner if the people, you know, who got into the scuffle, you know, could have been on the field. But no one from the scuffle will even be there. So it's going to be probably another competitive game. We'll get to see. I mean, Cleveland has won a few, so maybe they want to finish off strong. You know, I mean, the Bills just made it hard on everybody who's trying to ease their way into the playoffs. And Pittsburgh controls their own destiny. So we'll see what Duck has to offer. They are at home, so who knows? You know, that'll be a fun game to watch. You know, I'll probably still choose to watch the Niners and Baltimore over it, but still cool. No one's watching the Eagles and the Dolphins, you know, except maybe, you know. I don't know. Of course, people are going to watch it, but, like, I don't think that game is important at all. You know, if Philadelphia lose to the Dolphins now, it's going to be everywhere. You're going to hear about it, what's going on with Philadelphia. Shoot, Doug Peterson might even, you know, he probably won't get fired because he, you know, first Super Bowl ever in their history. You get a little leeway. But, they don't want to lose to the Dolphins. That's the point. In our next matchup, we have Redskins and the Panthers. No one cares about that game, no matter who wins. I mean, it'd be nice to see Dwayne Haskins perform well. I always support my brothers, especially my black quarterbacks. You know, I'm gonna support them forever. So it'd be nice to let him see what he can do. He finally won a game last week, so we'll see how this turned out for him, but. The Panthers are tough. Of course, they still got CMC. Unless he's hurt or something, but I don't think so. If so, like I said, this is unofficial. No scouting here. Just letting you know what I think based on what I've been seeing so far. The Packers and the Giants, the Packers have no choice, really, but to go step on this bad team's neck and get the victory because the last time I saw Green Bay was a primetime game, and Aaron Rodgers finished that game with 104 passing yards. Anyway, let's see. Is there anything else to highlight in that game? Not really. So, yeah, we'll see. The Packers will probably take care of business. Buccaneers, Jaguars. I'm going with the Jaguars because Jameis turned over the ball, but we'll see. Maybe. Tampa will take care of business. I mean, Tampa Bay is one of those teams that you know they might turn over the ball, but they can also put up 40 points. So, we'll see what happens there. The Rams and the Cardinals. The Rams are not the team that went to the Super Bowl last year, people. They are not. It's just I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I don't know exactly what happened other than I know a part of it. You know, they don't run the ball the same. You know, I don't know if that's because Todd's hurt. I don't know if they – I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I wish I had an answer for you, but I have nothing for you for that. So, you know, that sucks. But it is what it is, you know. The Rams probably will beat the Cardinals here. But, you know, the Rams, big disappointment. Jared Goff made a lot of money. You know, at least you get that check. You're not playing well. I think that check make you feel a little bit better. You know, of course, I don't condone that being the only thing you care about. But It's like I'm just saying, like, I play like trash. I come home or, like, Tuesday or whenever they get paid. I'm not sure it's the exact day, but whenever the direct deposit hit, you feel just a little bit better, you know. You feel just a little bit better, just a little bit. Anyway, on to the next one. The Raiders and the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes probably going to take care of being. The Raiders had a pretty good record, but they just lost, I think, to the Jets. And, you know, that kind of exposed some holes in that team. I thought they were going to be primed to try to, you know, sneak up on the Chiefs. This can be their chance if they can win that game on the road, you know, go in to Kansas City. I don't think they will. Arrowhead is, you know, it's pretty tough to beat the Chiefs there. And with Pat, I mean – it's enough said. Pat Mahomes and his weapons, they are still dangerous, no matter, you know. I know the attention is kind of dying off because he's not really in the MVP race right now, even though, you know, Patrick Mahomes is so explosive. He can, the next three games, throw for 500 yards, and then you just look at his numbers and be like, how can I? Like 500 in each game, and you look at his numbers and you're just going, how can you not give him MVP? That's how, you know, insane he is. But, you know, the Chiefs will probably take care of it. I'm taking them. Chargers, Broncos, who cares? You know, Chargers let me down a few weeks back with that, you know, with Phillip's performance in Mexico City on Monday Night Football. But, you know, it's going to be another AFC West battle. You know, it's a good week for division battles for the most part, other than a couple of games here and there. And, well, you know, it's a couple great division battles. So, the Chargers and Broncos is one of those things. I mean, it can go either way because of the way division battles go, especially with the Broncos. Because the Broncos have a couple of guys, like, for example, like their defensive line, that pass rush, or, you know, they have a couple players that can change the game, or at least they play well enough at times. You know, they haven't been consistent at all this season, so that might be the thing that, you know, bite them in the butt. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. And for the last two games, they're both probably going to be very entertaining games. I'm taking both the home teams for the two primetime games. You know, Vikings and Seahawks. I'm going with the Seahawks at home primetime. The Seahawks usually perform pretty well in them situations. And I don't see a reason for, you know, Seattle to slow down. Vikings are usually a decent matchup. I think last season maybe it wasn't too good. I don't think Cousins played too well, but then again, it's been a minute. I don't quite remember, so we'll see. But I'm choosing the Seahawks. I am a homer. I'm rooting for Russell Wilson all day. I'm rooting for DK Metcalf and, you know, Tyler Lockett and some of those guys that he's playing with. You know, Josh Gordon, I don't know if he's doing anything other than running slants for the Seahawks, because I don't know how much of the playbook he actually knows, or, you know, just based on playing time over these past two games. But we'll see, you know, as they try to implement him, we'll see how that looks. And we also will see probably another good example of how, no matter how ugly it gets and no matter how bad Seattle plays or how bad it can be, they have a chance with number three back there. So when Russell Wilson has the ball, or when he has a chance, Seattle has a chance, and it's a lot better chance than some other quarterbacks, you know, can give you. So I'm going with the Hawks. But as far as the Texans and the Patriots go, Deshaun Watson versus, you know, the Tom Brady, or if you want to look at it that way, or that Patriots defense versus Deshaun Watson and D-Hop, you know, D-Hop versus Stephon Gilmore. You know, if that's how you want to look at it, I think that's going to be interesting in those retrospects of that matchup. We'll see what Brady has, but the Texans defense, they're not what they used to be. I don't, you know, so it's a possibility that this game can end up close. And when it's close, I'm taking the home team, even if that means picking against Brady or picking against the Patriots. So I'm going to go with Houston. And Deshaun Watson, I expect him to perform well. So as far as week, I don't know exactly what week 13 goes. That's the wrap up. That's, you know, what I'm going with as far as picks. And besides the picks goes, I want to start doing a little bit more than that as we get into individual stories, individual things. I missed the entire Antonio Brown fiasco. Don't even get me started on it. I'm glad, actually, because there was so much going on that, you know, I don't even, you know, it's so much. You have certain conflicting reports. You have certain reports that say certain things that are, you know, sucks. Because I remember, you know, if you were in it, not necessarily, you don't even have to be a Pittsburgh fan to really enjoy him playing. He's that good, if you see what I'm trying to say. So it's insane to me how, you know, fast your reputation can go from possibly the best wide receiver of our era. Like, they put up a stat the other day, and AB retweeted it, you know, and I saw it. So I thought I think the NFL social media put up certain something about Michael Thomas and about how, you know, 1,200 receiving yards and over 100 catch seasons, and he has three in a row. At the top of that list was Antonio Brown with six in a row. That's how good he is. You know, so you can say whatever you want about him. You know, I don't know any of the details about the stuff he had going on, and I definitely don't approve of a lot of the antics and all of that drama. Tom Brady know it, because you can tell by the reports that he definitely wanted Antonio Brown to stay, or at least be back with the team. I don't know if be back, but I know he didn't want him to go. So, you know, when it comes to that, it's a reason for that. He's probably one of the best, you know, route runners or workers when it comes to receivers that you can even think of in your mind. You know, he's, like I said, he had the stats that if he would have kept going at that pace, that's Jerry Rice pace. You know, I'm talking about breaking his records. That's what I wanted for him, because I liked, you know, his performance. He played that well. He just seemed so unstoppable. He wasn't like Julio Jones. You know, he wasn't, you know, a huge specimen. He was a normal looking guy with, you know, a quick twitch who could get open against anyone. Oh, well, I hope to see him in the league in the future, but, you know, it is what it is. So on to my next topic for right now on the unofficial pilot, the unofficial first episode of Mind the Munchie, you know, MMA news. Conor McGregor's coming back. I probably have to be quicker next time. One more time. Okay, never mind. Anyway, he's back. Nice. You see, I'm having fun with it a little bit. But anyway, Conor McGregor is going to be fighting Donald Cerrone on January 18th. I think this UFC 246. So, for all the fight fans who've been calling for the return of the notorious Conor Moore. Anyway, the notorious Conor McGregor. I want to caution everyone. I've seen it happen before. I'm not saying this is going to happen either. I don't know. He has been out of fighting a while, and that's what I want people to think about. I want, before everyone go place their money and their bets on, you know, Conor McGregor or, you know, whatever the situation is. I'm not saying he won't win, because Donald Cerrone is tough. He's great. He's going to always have a great fight, but he's definitely beatable. You know, it's not, you know, he's beatable. He's going to stand up with Conor too. At least that's what I'm assuming. So, you know, we might get one of those nice, you know, glory day Conor McGregor knockouts. Who knows? But I just hope that if he's coming back, you know, he's coming back and it's going to be like a regular thing. Like, it's not anymore like I'm going to fight here, get a title shot, you know, lose or win and then go away. You know, and not that it matters, because like I said, you making as much money as he made when he fought Floyd. Man, I'm surprised he's even trying to fight back at all. But, you know, you hear stories about Conor McGregor all the time, all the stuff he's gotten into, you know. But the thing that you don't hear, or the thing that you don't necessarily, the things I'm not hearing about now, and of course it's going to be people breaking down the actual fight. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. You know, I even hear that they got some stuff going on with Floyd in the UFC now anyway, is what I also heard. So now people are trying to say that that's what this is. You know, they're going to get Conor, they're going to build with Conor again, and now they're going to try to get Floyd in the cage against Conor. And I'm like, no, please don't, okay? You're not proving anything anyway, Conor. If you beat him, so what? People going to say, what do you know what people are going to say if you beat Floyd in a UFC cage? Same thing I said when Floyd beat him. I mean, in the boxing ring, I mean, what did you expect? You know, people gonna watch it. People might be excited just because they like to see whichever one of them, whether it's Floyd or whether it's Connor, you want to see get hit in the face. And that's just simple logic. That's the reason why boxing and MMA and combat sports in general is so, you know, that's the beauty of it, you know. That's why they have interviews, so we can get to know these guys, so we'll know, okay, you know, he may have a punchable face, but he's not a douche, he's cool. Or you can get to know him and be like, man, I hate him. I hope, you know, like for all the people who hated Ben Askren, I hate the fact that his career ended the way it did, because, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch much of him in Bellator and some of the other countries, so I only got to see, you know, this downslide. So it makes the 18-0 look bad. I don't even know how dominant he was. I can go off what people said, you know. Yeah, I can definitely go seek out some older fights, and I will. But the point I'm trying to make, the fact that his career is over now, you know, sucks. You know, fighters always come back, but if I'm being, I don't see a point, you know. He failed in trying to complete the task that he had, which is to prove he was the best welterweight in the world. And, you know, it sucks to say that. Nobody wants to be called a failure. No one wants to feel that way. But and it also takes a lot of pride. And I think it's success when you can admit that or admit defeat and just kind of move on. You know, he probably wasn't his best self these last three fights. Even the fight he won with Robbie, he figured that out. You know, maybe it takes, you know, to get the Nemaya fight, you know, to see that. But it sucks to see him go, but that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to have people like Ben Askren to piss a certain or to make a certain part of the fan base happy, to piss a certain part of the fan base off, so everyone can be, so the whole internet can blow up like he did when Jorge gave him the knee to the face. But anyway, back to Conor. It's cool. I'm always going to be thankful for Conor McGregor to be back in the octagon because that's where he belongs. You know, especially if you're going to be getting into the stuff you get into outside of fighting. But exactly. But that's the point. It's great to hear about Conor for something other than some mess outside of fighting. It's cool to see him, you know, getting back into where he's supposed to be, getting back into that element of, you know, fighting. So on to my next and my final plethora of subjects. I am an avid wrestling fan. I always have been, and it's hard for me to even say it right now because throughout life, you know, you get certain things, but once you just realize it's something you love, it's just something you love. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. You know, if you love something, you know, you're gonna do it. Like I subconsciously watch wrestling at this point. You know, like I come home and certain things are on or whatever, and it's just like, ah, whatever. Let me go to the network or let me log on to New Japan World or let me do this, let me do that. So, yes, I will be talking Japanese wrestling on this podcast. I will be talking WWE. I will be talking AEW. I will be talking maybe a little TNA. I don't watch as much, but, you know, shout out to Tessa Blanchard. She's going to be fighting for the world title, which is crazy. Yes, I just said it. Tessa Blanchard versus, I think, Sammy. Callahan, yeah, for the title. I'm sorry, I don't want to seem like I don't know who he is. I do know who he is, but didn't want to get his name wrong. Anyway, into pro wrestling news. I would like to start off from where my memory begins, and that's gonna be from TakeOver. And one of the interesting things that came from the TakeOver pay per view, which kind of took over the entire weekend and almost overshadowed the shows, is this Mauro Ranallo thing. And honestly speaking, it's been tough for me to come up with an explanation for, or at least an opinion on it, because it's hard to, because what I saw Corey Graves said, if you don't know what happened, you can look up on any dirt sheet, it's everywhere. And if you haven't been noticed his absence, it's not because he just lost his voice. You can't, I mean, if he lost his voice, all right, cool. But I know it didn't happen, but that's the excuse WWE decided to use on Saturday. On Sunday, because he was supposed to be on Survivor Series. Sorry, getting my days mixed up. Anyway, he was supposed to be there on Sunday. You know, they said his voice was hurting, didn't explain why. Is his voice still gone? That's why he wasn't on NXT TV. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if they acknowledge it because I kind of DVR stuff. So sometimes I may skip small details on the broadcast to get to the next segment or get to the next match, you know, so I can keep things going. Because I don't know about anyone else, and that's basically what I'm getting at, because all the other storylines, you know, the NXT stuff, all right, cool. You know, at this point, especially at this point in the weekend, I can't wait to see what happens on SmackDown. So, you know, that's going to be going on tonight because I am recording this Friday. So we will see. And in the future, I will have a better structure for this, like whether it be different shows for just wrestling or whether it be, you know, just sports every now and then. I want the show to be kind of like where I'm at now, around 30 minutes. If you were listening to me at this point, I appreciate you. I really do. I really do. As a matter of fact, round of applause. Round of applause. Louder. Okay, that was probably annoying. Anyway. All right. Thanks. Like I said, thanks again for listening right now to this. But my overall point about my pro wrestling situation and about my whole opinion on all of this is, you know, as far as the Corey Graves tweet go, what I actually saw was him basically complimenting Nigel and saying, you know, he's a former Ring of Honor champion, you know, he probably should talk more and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. I understand completely. You don't go to social media talking about a coworker. Honestly, at first I thought he was playing kind of into the whole brand, you know, beef that they kind of proclaim on commentary, but I guess it's off limits on Twitter. It's pretty much a reflection of what you really feel if you're saying stuff like that on Twitter. And I'm not saying Corey didn't feel that way, because he probably did, because it didn't seem like in his apology he was apologizing for what he said. He was just apologizing that everybody got mad at it. He was like, man, I didn't think you guys were going to take it that seriously. That ain't what he said. But still, the point I'm trying to make when it comes to this is, you know, I understand Mauro Ranallo has his mental health issues, and I hope he's, you know, getting the help he needs or whatever it is. I hope, you know, that he overcomes it. He's good at his job. He doesn't deserve to be attacked in any way. But at the same time, it's like if Twitter trolls and Corey's tweet, you know, at least based on that, if that's going to get to you, you know, I don't know how aware, at least I just wonder how aware is he of what, you know, what he's doing. Because when you're in the public eye, no matter if you're doing what I'm doing right now, no matter if you're just doing commentary, you know, it's going to be people who have something to say. And, you know, sometimes you got to zone it out. But I also understand that, you know, your coworker shouldn't be bringing on that unnecessary attention. Because as soon as one person say something, now you got a Twitter mentions flooded with those same opinions or, you know, whatever. Everyone wants to give you a piece of their mind. So I understand how it can be overwhelming. It can be terrible, especially for someone who has their own issues. You know, so with that being said, I wish Mauro the best. And I hope we can just move on from this and, like I said, continue to focus on the same way I look at it in sports, the same way I look at it in pro wrestling, which is a sport to me. No matter what anyone thinks, it's definitely a sport, you know, based on what they have to do and the athleticism it takes to pull off what they do in the ring. It's a sport. So it's my same logic, you know, as long as we're focusing on what's going on, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on backstage stuff, but I am saying when it comes to attacking each other, if it doesn't have anything to do with the product, then, you know, it's unnecessary. So moving on from that subject, Joey Janela was not necessarily too happy about his I don't know if he's not too mad, but he says AEW officials are not talking to him, and he didn't come to the Chicago show that they had on Dynamite. They had the Dynamite taping for reasons of not just being booked, not needed there, and he's not talking to anyone. So, you know, if that's true, and he did leave the tweet since, so I'm assuming it is. Maybe it's part of an angle. Who knows? AEW does like to, or, you know, at least we know the Elite likes to, you know, play with people on Twitter and, you know, start off their angles. Kind of like with this whole Nick fighting by himself stuff with the Bucks. You know, not saying Matt isn't really injured. He may be, but out fought based on what I know and, you know, him getting powerbombed through the stage, I'm going to go with, you know, it's more of a kayfabe injury. But even if it's not, shout out to Matt for getting a break. You know, you don't, you know, it's not, you know, get to stay at the house, you know, a little bit. Or he's backstage. Who knows what's going on? But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, Joey Janela said also in that tweet that, you know, he's been building up this persona and this character for 14 years, and they're, you know, they're kind of just letting it flounder. And I have to agree, because as someone who was new to Joey Janela, I had heard of him, the bad boy. I had heard that, you know, he was insane. He would have these insane matches, and I've seen a couple of them. But, you know, I was really trying to, you know, kind of like I am with Sammy Guevara, MJF. He was in that group of guys for me, and Darby Allin. I think they did it on purpose. I know they did it on purpose, right? Because Allin is, whatever. Maybe I'm late to that party. Anyway, Darby Allin is also in that group of guys where I think you're just intrigued by it. You want to know more about it. You want to watch him and grow and see what's coming. So I wanted to see what Joey Janela's, you know, what you know, other than the fact that he could have death matches or pretty much borderline death matches with people, what did he bring to the table? And, you know, so I do think AEW is kind of dropping the ball there. But at the same time, you have so many guys, you know, so many guys and girls to get on TV and to try to have competitive matches. Same problem WWE's having. You know, it's hard sometimes to time out, you know, and get everyone involved the way they should be. You know, and AEW ain't got nothing on how WWE do it. WWE wasting so many people that it's insane. But, you know, hopefully Joey Janela, you know, in the AEW management gets that worked out and there's no problem. And, you know, I hope that's the case. As far as NXT goes, it was another decent episode. Great work rate, you know. That's what I like the most about Wednesday. We're going to have to start calling those work rate Wednesdays, because that's basically what it is, you know. AEW have, you know, better promos and certain, you know, segments. You know, they have the small things, like they need to stop working with live animals, obviously. The goat didn't want anything to do with that segment. So, you know, they have to start doing better with that. You know, I don't think they learned anything from Cody's dog. But, like I said, I think Wednesdays in general, as far as pro wrestling goes, that's work rate Wednesday. That's the reason why they don't say work rate Wednesday, is because it's a tongue twister. So I just solved it, and I don't think I'm going to coin the phrase. I was going to coin it, but it's hard to coin a phrase if you can't say it. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, exciting Wednesday night television, and we can't wait to see what's going to happen tonight for Friday night on SmackDown. So, and as for Raw, the Raw after Survivor Series, again, I can touch on the Seth Rollins stuff. If you want, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have said what they had to say by now. Can't wait to see where they're going with it, though. You know, just like everyone else, he was better when he had the blonde streak in his hair and he was straight. You know, he was a douche. You know, when Seth Rollins is being himself, that's the bit. Like, a lot of people are real life heels. I like to think I am. You know, like in real life, you just. You know, certain people out there who are like that. You know, not saying that we're bad people. It's just, you know, you're an asshole. As simple as that. And Seth Rollins, based on Twitter, based on just how much better. I mean, everybody, first of all, a lot of people are better at playing the heel than the good guy. Simple as that. The good guy is just not easy. It's unrealistic, first of all, to just be happy or just to be positive. And second of all, you know, the heel is just more relatable, you know. Doing whatever it takes to get where you need to be, you know, befriending the right people, not necessarily being fake, but you know, doing what you have to do. That's very relatable to no matter if you feel like you're a good person or you may not be. But anyway, so I like that. You know, the Rusev stuff. Finally, it's about time he actually. I'm just saying, if somebody took my wife and went to my job with my wife and kiss my wife in front of me and over me numerous times before she was my ex-wife. And, you know, I'm going in the terms. We know this still. I mean, come on. I'm not even going to go into it. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is details. It's about time Rusev went crazy because, you know, a lot of husbands or ex-husbands in this situation would already be insane. So, as far as my opinion on the whole angle, I've been wanting it to stop, so maybe that's what this is. You know, maybe, you know, him attacking her, attacking Bobby, can stop me from having to deal with Lana being super duper. I hope she's doing this on purpose. I don't remember Lana being this annoying. I think she's definitely doing this on purpose. She is very annoying now. Voice, she's on point. So if they wanted her to be annoying, you're doing great. You're doing very great. And I know heels are supposed to get on my nerves. So like I said, she's doing her job. But I'm still ready for it to end. Nice to see Rey Mysterio win the United States title. That was cool. It's been a pretty good week for wrestling so far. SmackDown is going to kind of be the beginning of the next one. So the next time I do this, maybe I'll throw that one in. You know, I could bring up last week's SmackDown, but we had a busy weekend last week. So it is what it is. This is the unofficial but official pilot episode of The Mind of Monty. Very unofficial because it's unfinished. I have to get graphics out. I have to do this. I have to do that. You don't even understand. But guess what I also have to do? I have to be back in this position next week. I will. I have no choice because this is something I promised myself. And it's something I'm planning on sticking to. So I appreciate anyone who decides to take their time out, take 40-some minutes out of their life to listen to me ramble on about stuff like this. If you have any suggestions, let me know. Because I'm open to talk about a lot more than just this. I have plenty of ideas coming. I have people that I want to talk to. And I got some stuff cooking up. Like, I'm not going to give anybody any teasers because, you know, if I let you down, then, you know, you got a whole bunch, y'all going to, y'all literally go into to my audio and edit it out and be like, you remember you said this, you said that, you said, don't do that. It's all good. I'm not going to promise you anything. But 2020 is going to be a very good year for this Mind of Monty podcast. So this is the unofficial debut, and I'm going to hit my music. I like this. Shout out to YouTube Music Library. And, okay, it's not even on yet. So I just hear it in my head. I'm a psycho. I'm sorry, y'all. Anyway, unofficial pilot episode of Mind of Mental. Adios.